Good morning.
My name
is Matt Lee, and I'm very excited to be here at Hurricane Community Church. This is my first time preaching here. It's my third time preaching overall, and I'm very excited and very grateful to have been given this opportunity here today. A little bit about myself. I grew up on the west side of Indianapolis, and I moved to Franklin for college, and I've been a resident ever since. I'm an eighth grade U.S. history teacher here in Franklin Community Schools. I'm currently coaching cross country, and I'm also working on my master's degree in history. That being said, as someone who's immersed in stories and history on a daily basis, when looking for a connection to this week's sermon on thankfulness through trials and tribulations, I naturally gravitated towards the past. What I found was a remarkable story of a woman who faced unimaginable hardships, but came out the other side of that closer to her Lord. Born April 15th, 1892, Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch watchmaker, and later in her life, a Christian writer and public speaker. Corrie and her family were spiritual leaders in their Netherlandic community of Haarlem, where they established a Christian youth club for young women and provided food and shelter to those in need. However, in May of 1940, when the Nazis invaded the Netherlands, the work of Corrie and her family became an essential act of heroism and service. The Ten Booms opened up their home to Jewish refugees who sought sanctuary from Nazi persecution. Eventually, the family became integral to the Dutch underground resistance network, responsible for smuggling Jews into safer parts of the country in greater Europe. All in all, it's estimated that around 800 Jews were saved by the Ten Booms' efforts. Albeit, in February of 1944, the Ten Booms were arrested by the Nazis, and Corrie and her sister Betsy would spend the next 10 months in two different concentration camps. While in these camps, the Ten Boom women led worship services and Bible studies for the women amidst the dire, flea-ridden conditions. Despite her selfless work and attitude, Corrie was certainly no fan of the fleas which infested the living quarters of these camps. Sensing her sister's fear and annoyance, Betsy reminded Corrie of 1 Thessalonians and the message of giving thanks in all circumstances. Corrie replied that she just couldn't give thanks for the fleas. Betsy still attempted to look on the bright side, reminding her sister that somehow the guards hadn't checked their luggage, which contained the smuggled Bible they were using to lead worship. Corrie stated she could give thanks for that, but still just not those fleas. In time, Corrie learned that the only reason she and her sister hadn't been caught leading worship was because their captors were so repulsed by the fleas that they would not enter the girls' barracks. Years later, Corrie reflected that this is how she was taught to give thanks for all things, because you just never know. Now, while our trials and tribulations might not necessarily compare to that of a Holocaust survivor, I think that the story of Corrie ten Boom can be incredibly instructive and insightful for our own lives. How can we find thankfulness and growth both during and through the process of suffering? How do we respond to periods of trials and tribulations? Who or what do we turn to in these times of great personal need? Today, we're going to look at some imperfect and hurting people, those who were weak, vulnerable, and experienced unimaginable hardships, but people, nevertheless, who came out of their respective hardships stronger, rejuvenated, and thankful. The three examples we'll look at today are the story of Jesus in the healing of the 10 lepers, the life story of Mary Magdalene, and that of Paul and Silas and their internment in a Roman jail. While these three stories share a common theme of thankfulness by way of suffering, they also each have their own respective points of application for our own lives, which we'll also look at together. I heard someone once say that suffering is never easy to talk about, but it shows us more about who we are and who God is than comfort ever could. I'm really grateful and excited to be able to tackle this subject today with you all. So with that being said, let's go ahead and jump into our first case study here of Jesus and the healing of the lepers. If you have your Bibles out, turn with me to Luke 17, verses 11 through 19. There should be some Bibles also in the pews there. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke 17, 11 through 19. I'll go ahead and read that passage here. Jesus heals 10 men with leprosy. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." So, here we see a really direct and clear-cut example of that direct progression from suffering to thankfulness. Leprosy was an awful disease that left its victims with severe skin and bodily disfigurements. These people experienced unbearable physical pain on a near daily basis. Not only was leprosy a great physical detriment, but those that suffered from it often became social outcasts and were banished from their own communities. Here we really see Jesus in his own element, caring for the weak and the downtrodden. While he does heal all the lepers, what stands out in this passage is the overall lack of thankfulness demonstrated by the group as a whole. Only one return to thank Jesus for what he had done. This passage draws us to an important question in our own lives. When were you the singular, grateful leper, as opposed to the reluctant other 9? After a period of great suffering in your life, especially one that maybe had a positive resolution, did you find yourself returning to God in thankfulness? If not, what did you find relief or thankfulness in? One very apparent takeaway from this passage is that Jesus is observant of who chose to give praise and who chose to give thankfulness. He directly states, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? I think this passage serves as a very human reminder that it can be very easy to get swept up in the euphoria of a positive resolution and not stop to reflect on who created the opportunities for that better outcome. We truly do have a loving and merciful Savior, one who gives active time and attention for the struggling and the marginalized. Even in the midst of an ideal ending to a difficult time, we should actively remember and give thanks for how God saw that situation through for us. Psalm 116, I think, ties really well into the application for this passage, as verses 12 through 13 proclaim, "What shall I return to the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I think being conscious of God's active role in our lives and our resolved thankfulness to Him is probably the most essential thing we can get out of this passage. Much like that of the thankful leper, the central figure of our next story also made a conscious acknowledgement of what Jesus had done for her, and what she chose to do next would go on to serve as the near perfect example for the Christian life. With that being said, let's go and take a look at our second story for the day, that being the life and trials of Mary Magdalene. From what we're told in Luke 8, Mary Magdalene was possessed by a demon before Jesus freed her. Now, outside this somewhat vague description, there really isn't a lot that we know about Mary from a personal level. However, what we do know is how she chose to spend her time in her following years of her life after being liberated from these demons and from these tribulations. Aware and thankful for what Christ had done for her, Mary chose to quite literally follow Jesus. What we find, in fact, Mary Magdalene can be found in the most important moments and events during the timeline of the New Testament. In Matthew chapters 27 and 28, we learn that Mary is present for both the crucifixion of Jesus and his burial. In John chapter 20, we see that Mary was the first person to witness the resurrected Savior as she came to visit the tomb. That encounter in itself is such a testament to the gratitude and thankfulness of Mary that even in presumed death, she chose to be near to her Savior. Mary Magdalene was the living, breathing example of a changed life with and through Christ. Overwhelmed with thankfulness and gratitude from the liberation of previous tribulations, Mary Magdalene chose to center her life around Christ and to follow him. So, how is Mary Magdalene's life story instructive for us? What do her trials and tribulations teach us about the experience of suffering while living a Christian life? I think that the more obvious instructive point with Mary is pretty similar to that of the grateful leper. After a period in our lives of great suffering and tribulation, we're presented with a choice. Do we follow and give thanks to Jesus, or do we remain with the earthly struggles? Mary Magdalene chose the former, and thus became as personally close to Jesus as maybe anyone else in human history. However, I think perhaps an equally important takeaway here, maybe the more subversive point, is that despite Mary Magdalene and her intentional choice to follow Jesus and her thankfulness for what he had done for her, she still faced great suffering even after she was saved. She witnessed one of her closest friends publicly executed and was abruptly thrust into an intense state of mourning with his death. Mary personally witnessed the death of not just a close friend, but also her Savior who rescued her from possession. I think that Mary's story is an important reminder for our own lives that while we can and should demonstrate our thankfulness for what God has done for us, it won't necessarily prevent instances of suffering and tribulations in the future. That being said, I think what demonstrating thankfulness can do, however, is serve as a reminder of God's love and the intentionality he maintains over our lives. One of my favorite passages of Scripture covers this point well, as Paul writes in Romans 5, that we as human beings should also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and in perseverance, character, and in character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Suffering can be instructive. It can help us grow and become more complete and mature people. Suffering can abruptly and perhaps uncomfortably reveal to us the nature of our own character and ultimately teach us how to be more resilient in the future. I don't think God puts us in a position of suffering because he revels in our pain, but rather because he uses it as a device to help us draw closer to him. So let's go ahead and transition to our last story for today, an example. So far, we've looked at key examples of thankfulness expressed through conversion and dedication to Christ with the singular grateful leper and Mary Magdalene. To wrap up, I thought it'd be fitting to conclude with the experience and tribulation of two men who, like many of us in this room, had been established Christians for quite some time. In Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 40, we find Paul and Silas in a position of great suffering and pain. While in the Roman colony of Philippi, the two men were beaten, arrested, and subsequently imprisoned by local Roman authorities after exorcising a possessed woman and then being blamed for causing the ensued chaos. How Paul and Silas chose to respond to this adversity and the positive fruit that their response bore is incredibly insightful for us today. If we take a look more closely at Acts chapter 16, verses 23 through 25, we observe how the two men didn't lament on their sufferings or question God's judgment, but instead chose to demonstrate their thankfulness to him, despite their beaten, tired, and lowly position. Here's what that passage reads. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into the prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet into the stocks. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. It shouldn't be lost on us with how this passage ends. We observe that the other prisoners paid close attention to how these devout Christians chose to conduct themselves during this great period of suffering. In fact, what we see later is that this incident and the way in which Paul and Silas reacted to it would serve as an opportunity for salvation. Believing that all the prisoners had escaped from the earthquake that God had caused within that prison, what we see here is that Paul and Silas both spiritually and literally saved the prison guard who was just about to commit suicide. Throughout the duration of this hardship, the two men seemingly spent very little time dwelling on their frustrations and instead totally devoted themselves to praising God and to being a light to others. We see later in the passage that Paul and Silas would go on to baptize not just the prison guard, but his entire household overall. So, what can we take from this passage? What can we learn about Paul and Silas with tribulations, thankfulness, and the Christian life in general? What I'm willing to bet is that many of us in this room, perhaps even most of us, much like Paul and Silas, have been established Christians for quite some time. It's been years, perhaps even decades, since we've been saved and accepted God's role in our lives. We've grown spiritually and have likely become intertwined with a greater group of believers and a greater church community. In a more typical season of life, our faith and spiritual practices become second nature. At least for myself, it becomes objectively easier for us to exemplify God's word when things are either going well or we're in a peaceful season of life. Thus begets the question, when things aren't going super well, When we do face rough patches or difficult moments, do our actions and speech as lifelong Christians, do they magnify our faith to those around us? Do they entice others to Christ in the same way that Paul and Silas did for the prison guard? Or do we become mean and resentful and unintentionally dissuade others from joining the faith? Now, this of course doesn't mean that our struggles or feelings are invalid or consequenceless. When we do endure hardship and pain, we should open up and express ourselves to our loved ones and even our Savior. But I do think that this passage can serve as a broader reminder that we don't experience and live out these rough patches of life in a physically isolated bubble. These struggles happen as we live out and occupy the same spaces as everyone else. I believe that most people are caring and empathetic, but much like Paul and Silas and their failed jailmates, they're also watching. I think Jesus emphasized this point well when he gave the following instructions on the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. The same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Our struggles are real and put us in a serious position of pain and vulnerability. However, I think that if we're able to spend even a little bit of time being the light and exemplifying our thankfulness to Christ, that might be just enough for others outside the faith to be intrigued by the wonderful love and mercy that comes from our Lord and Savior. Okay, let's go ahead and wrap this up here today. What can we take from this series of stories and learn about the process of thankfulness through difficult times? I think one big point of application we can take from Jesus and his encounter with the singular grateful leper is that thankfulness is an intentional, conscious action. It's easy and very human to get swept up in the euphoria and excitement of a positive resolution. And we should rejoice in times of healing and in times of happiness. However, we should simultaneously also understand that these positive resolutions, they don't just happen on their own. And for all of our abilities and intuition, it's God's will and judgment that were the ultimate arbitrators of that difficult time. So that's one big takeaway from today, I think, is to make thankfulness a conscious, intentional decision through both difficult and peaceful seasons of life. The second point of application for today that we saw through the life and trials of Mary Magdalene is more of a sobering reminder than anything, and that is, even in the midst of a life totally devoted to Christ, anticipate and embrace suffering nevertheless. As we saw through the life of Mary, a woman who was deeply committed and thankful for what Christ had done for her, she still faced great emotional hardship, yet never wavered in that commitment and love for him. So, in essence, remember, this is a broken and imperfect world, in that suffering is an inextricable part of life. But nevertheless, much like Mary, do your best to be thankful and draw closer to him. And finally, I think that the story of Paul and Silas provides us with a very practical invitation and challenge to be the light in the midst of darkness. Radiate your thankfulness to Christ so intensely that others are irrefutably drawn into the faith. In a more direct way, reach out to people, both believers and not. Minister to others how God has been there for you through adversities and the resolution he saw through for you. Overall, I think that the through line between these passages today is simply to remain near to Christ. Acknowledge his active hand that shapes your life and try to express thankfulness through both times of adversity and times of peace. I want to circle back here today and conclude with the story of Corrie Ten Boom and her incredible life story. After being released from a German concentration camp in late December of 1944, Corrie was faced with a choice. How would she choose to live her life with the time that she had left? She had been robbed of not just years of her life, but also of good health and well-being. She even lost her sister, who encouraged her to be thankful for the fleas. In response to what she had experienced, Corrie chose to demonstrate her thankfulness to Christ and thus spent the remaining decades of her life dedicated to the selfless service of others. In the immediate aftermath of World War II, Corrie returned to the Netherlands and set up a rehabilitation center for Holocaust survivors, accepting anyone in need of care. In the forthcoming years and decades of her life, Corrie would travel to nearly 60 countries and, as a public speaker, share her testimony and God's word with others around the globe. Corrie passed away in April of 1983, leaving behind not just an essential account of an unthinkable genocide, but also a shining example of relentless service and sympathy for others, all invigorated through her love and thankfulness for Christ. So, here's the final consideration and invitation for today. What can you be thankful for, despite the often flea-ridden conditions of life? What do you hope to do with the time that you have left? Considering the stories we've looked at today and the life of Corrie, I think we can conclude that time spent in service to others and in dedication to Christ is time well spent. Pray with me. Dear Lord, we come to you in humble prayer. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your wonderful love and mercy, unyielding through trials and tribulations, and even in peaceful times. We appreciate the gift of your word and all that you've done for us. Amen. Thank you.